Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you. Welcome to Binary Jazz, a podcast. I am joined by my pals, Allison, a bit further north, a snow shovel sharpener from the Arctic tundra, and Chris, a pine cone farmer from the sub-Saharan plains of Utah.
That is a true fact, though. We do get lots of pine cones because we have a pine tree in our on our property.
What really fascinates me is how they migrate across the desert.
Pine cones?
Sure.
I just pictured like a herd of pine cones.
Oh no, they're very individual.
Plodding, making their way.
You've seen the boulders though that migrate across the desert, right?
Mm-hmm.
They leave like sand. How does that work?
Wind.
Balderdash.
No.
Huh. So this is the Balderdash of podcasts. where we talk about a topic we know nothing about until the end of the episode. And on occasion stumble across the true meaning of love.
Love, life, the universe, and everything.
Yeah. Universe. Space, pretty big.
Space, pretty big.
I don't know that I can handle intros. Let me be quite frank about things.
I'm grateful I don't do intros.
I wish I'd prepared something.
But that's how I feel about the topic every week. I wish I had prepared something.
that'll be the title of my autobiography. I wish I had prepared something.
I wish I knew what was happening.
Sadly, I often realize what's happening. Like, there's just nothing I can do about it.
Well, that's another good potential title. There's just nothing I can do about it.
There's just nothing I can do about it. This show got dark pretty quick.
I'm aware of what's happening. I just can't do anything to control it. Yeah. General good life vibes.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it's like it's all small stuff, man.
I don't know. You cut out there. It's all small
stuff,
man.
Man.
So, what's today's topic?
I like the awkward intro. I think we were going in pretty good. We're almost reaching peak awkwardness.
We don't want to hit peak awkwardness too soon. We have to have goals.
You have to have something to work up
you're
to.
You're in the wrong podcast. You're listening to. I guess you're in it as well.
I keep discovering more people who are quietly listening in my life, but not letting me know until then they'll reference something and I have no idea what they're talking about. They're on the episode where you referenced, like when Chris was talking about Home Improvement. And I was like, what? You're listening? People are listening?
I haven't looked at the stats in a really long time. So
I'm going to end up at Thanksgiving dinner and be stumped for the second time on a topic. Like, hey, do you know what Dyson sphere is? I'm pretty sure it's a thing. Like, it's a circular thing of meat. No, it has nothing to do with meat.
You're clearly going to be bringing a Dyson sphere to your family Thanksgiving, right? Like, Thanksgiving here already passed, so unless I celebrate with, like, some sort of vegetarian mishmash of a Dyson sphere.
I'm not even sure how that would function.
I don't know.
Because you
eat roast vegetables.
Like, this. Yeah, but like for it to hold its shape at the scale that a Dyson sphere would need to be, because like if we're thinking that Dyson sphere is like this big, like head sized, I mean, because head sized is like if a piece of meat is the size of your head, size and shape of your head, it's pretty gross. And that's pretty much the idea of a Dyson sphere, right? So a head-sized clump, a head-sized clump of, like, I don't know, blended vegetables probably would fall apart. You need to have something to stick
some
it all
together. Kind of binder, yeah.
Well, I think the vegetarian version would need to be like a stuffed gourd of some sort, or like a squash. Something to
that actually sounds good.
What a Dyson sphere. You know, like Euro meat is on like the spindle. Yeah. You slice it off. That's really what you need for a Dyson sphere.
Yeah, some sort of.
You need like a permanently spinning spindle.
There's a vegan deli here called Yam Chops that I feel like they would.
Oh my god, I love that.
They would be into that idea, I feel like. But I don't know if I can sell them on the Dyson sphere.
I'm just imagining this conversation, like you walking, like, so I have this podcast, right? And we have this recurring topic of the Dyson sphere, which in reality is like a big old thing of meat. But I think that people would really be excited about a basketball size, like, thing of vegetables that you could just, you know, sort of like throw on a spindle and slice off pieces as people order. What do you think? Oh, I'm Allison, by the way.
Thoughts. Yeah. By the way, I just walked in off the street.
Also, what's your Wi-Fi password?
I would also like some fake chicken salad. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm thinking about lunch now.
I'm thinking about those IKEA veggie balls.
Oh.
Have you had those?
No.
I'm guessing not, because that was you've never had them. Yeah, because we have an IKEA that's not so far away that we don't go there too much. It's about a half hour away. And we discovered they have these veggie balls. I can't remember what they're called.
But they're different than the meatballs? Like different than...
Well, because they're veggies.
Well, but like... but do they serve them with the same idea?
I think so. I think so. We use them in things that need vegetables, and they're pretty darn good, actually.
Good. I think that's a safe distance for an IKEA to be, just far enough that you have to put some effort in to get there.
Because if it's too close, then you're going to be there way too. Yeah.
Every single day I pass one.
Oh, really? Wow.
I mean, maybe not every day, but it's on the way to the kids' school, so. Ooh, it got windy all of a sudden.
So you could just be like, I need a spatula for a dollar.
It's the problem
really
with that
awkward
is
spatula.
A spatula with a strange name that's almost like the right dimensions and feel for a dollar. And I want to like walk a mile and a half to get it.
The last time we went to IKEA, we actually got spatula, and because the other one I burned the handle, so it's all melty. I thought it would be a good thing to get a new one so that like the toxic rubber stuff isn't coming off on the hand every time I use it. I was like, oh yeah, it's fine. It's a spatula. They're all the same, right? It's not, because it's IKEA. So it's like basically completely straight with like no dip for where, you know, to like flip like things. Right. I realized as I'm making pancakes, oh, this is really awkward. This is...
That's a key part of...
I'm burning my knuckles on the griddle.
Yeah.
Thanks, IKEA.
Yep.
I'm really
the company
happy
that has let Americans say, that's good enough.
That's good. This
really?
Is all right.
IKEA was that?
Yes.
Like, fast food. I mean, McDonald's was like... I mean, technically, I've been fed. Like, that's...
that's McDonald's. See, that right there, that's McDonald's. Technically, I've been fed. That's fast
that's
food.
Like, that's totally under the umbrella of, like, this is good enough. I mean, like, I feel like McDonald's is the root of that whole idea. Like...
Probably.
Here it is. Like, convenience is all that matters. But that, like...
No, convenience is all that matters is 7-Eleven.
When was the last time I went to a 7-Eleven? I don't even know where there is one around here.
Do you have, what's the stupid East Coast version?
Wawa?
Yeah. Do you have Wawa's instead?
There was one being built like 9/10 of a mile from my house. The local gas station I would go to closed. So now to get gas, I need to go, I mean, maybe a mile and a half. So it's super inconvenient, obviously. So I think when the Wawa opens, I'll probably go there for gas a lot. I don't know that I'll do much more than that. I'm not sure that I can get on board with, like, being excited about gas stations.
They are more deluxe than I imagined them to be from their initial description.
Yeah. No, it's true. When we went to, I guess it was the Poconos, right? For the web dev retreat, however many years ago that was. When Allison's eye blew up.
Good times.
It's a long story. We don't need to get into it on the show.
October's of years past.
Yeah. There was a Wawa.
You really know how to do Halloween.
Yeah, there was a Wawa that we went to for coffee, and yeah, if what you're thinking of is 7-Eleven, this is like the Starbucks. Well, no, not the Starbucks is not a good example. This is like the gourmet coffee house of 7-Elevens. It's like really sort of posh for a 7-Eleven, and the coffee's actually good, like legitimately good coffee. And I'm a fairly big coffee snob, and it was, and not only that, but they had a variety of milk and non-milk alternatives to put in your coffee, which is something that is completely unheard of outside of like Starbucks or an actual coffee house. Like, I've never gone somewhere and been like, oh, you've got almond milk and coconut milk and soy milk and non-dairy creamer and milk of varying percentages.
And it wasn't something that you had to like really track down like behind the counter or anything. It was just like out there. I was like, oh, I can buy gasoline and just ask for almond milk and it's readily available. That's just
I totally forgot about the gas part.
Well, yeah, I wasn't relevant to me, but I was still just like, what a one-stop shop.
Yeah.
And I can also
they have gas here?
Buy a banana. And like,
I wonder if I'll ever go inside it.
I would recommend.
You should just do it.
Just do a lap though. You don't it's not like.
Well, go in and get coffee.
Yeah. They have different roasts. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was
a bunch of different roasts.
I don't know if my bar is just really low, but.
No, it was, and especially since the day before we didn't go to the Wawa, or I didn't go to the Wawa, and I had the coffee at the resort, and that was horrible, like awful. And then go to Wawa and have coffee, and it's like, oh my God, this is actually good.
So delicious.
You said that, I was thinking of coffee at our company retreat back in February, the place we were staying at, like didn't understand, I guess, who we are and our consumption of coffee. Because they had this one little table set up for, I don't know, 70 of us, right, to go and get coffee. And they had two coffee pitchers and, like, a little bit of sugar and a little bit of cream. And the line, I mean, it was just like there was one dude, that poor dude was just running back and forth, just bringing, like, pots. Like, morning sessions were going on, people were still in line, like, that's cool, but I need my coffee first, right? They didn't really get it either. Like, it didn't really get better. Day one, I get it. Day two, like, Did no one learn anything yesterday?
They didn't ramp it up.
See, our retreat was in a castle in Italy, and below, in the ground, on the ground level, we actually had adjacent or attached into the structure was a coffee house, a cafe, and we just had an open tab. We had an open tab with them, and they had an open tab with a wine bar down the street, and so we just... We go down there and get espresso, cappuccino, whatever people wanted. Yeah.
That's amazing. So, that's how I'm going to run my next retreat for myself.
That was good coffee.
The coffee shop up the street, I'm just going to be like, I'm having a retreat here. I'd like to open a tab. it is just me.
This is the day
so
one
of
my retreat.
Out of my tab,
yeah.
You need to run by me first.
Don't let that person over in the corner add to my tab because they're not part of this retreat. Same with muffins. No excessive muffin eating. No baked goods, just me.
Oh.
I didn't know. I wouldn't have considered you a coffee snob, Chris. I wouldn't have.
I worked at Whole Foods. I worked in the specialty department, which is coffee, chocolate, and cheese. I became a coffee snob.
I want a new job.
I became a coffee snob after working with coffee, chocolate, and cheese. Mostly just because I learned more about it, and then we went to a local roaster, and we did a cupping of different things they had. So I began to start to notice the differences between different roasts and single origin versus blends and whatnot. So and know a little bit about the history of, like, you know, where or not just the history, but like how coffee comes in, what happens in the production process, all that sort of stuff. So
do you find as a result of that that you drink coffee many different ways now? Like, you're not like I take my coffee with X amount of cream and sugar or whatever, or do you find that you're still pretty regimented in your coffee?
I'm fairly regimented in my coffee. I don't tend to drink it black. I can drink it black, but I don't like it as much. Although I know that when I'm not drinking it black, I don't taste it as well as I would if I was drinking it black. But you know, and then when I was in Italy, because I didn't want to deal with milk, I just said un café and got this shot of espresso, and that was what I did because it's the same amount of coffee and a tiny little thing. Possibly, arguably, potentially more caffeine. But mostly I still do the same thing. When I go out to like a Starbucks or something, I don't actually get coffee usually because I think they've gotten better lately, but there's sometimes like cross contamination of milks with their steamer. So like, especially like we only ever go to Starbucks on road trips. So I'll end up like, we'll go to the Starbucks and then like an hour later, my stomach will start hurting and I still have like 4 hours to go on the road trip. And that's not a good feeling. So I just get chai with probably steamed milk of some kind, which is not really avoiding the problem at all.
I'm a whirling dervish coffee drinker. Like, I'll take it any way you want to give it to me.
If there's coffee involved, you will say yes.
I mean, I wouldn't say I drink a lot of coffee, but I definitely vary my coffee intake, and I call it quits right at noon on coffee.
No, yeah, I
need to sleep at night.
I don't.
Does caffeine keep you up or no?
I had far too much Jolt Cola as a young teen, and it makes me a little bit more awake if I have it at night, but it doesn't keep me from sleeping. I always sleep through anything, including
I had a lot of Jolt Cola. Somewhere along the way, something changed because now if I have caffeine like after 2 p.m., like I will lay in bed until 3 a.m., totally awake. Hmm. So, not great.
No, I try to have.
But I can also sleep in the morning after a cup of coffee. I can grab a nap and wake up like refreshed. I don't know what that is. When I'm like 70, I'm gonna be the guy that sleeps like in 10-minute increments all day long, but not at night.
Well, that's like, I mean, like the idea of a power nap. Are you refreshed? Can you like grab a power nap and then feel like awake afterwards? Or are you still groggy?
As long as it's not too long, yeah, I can wake up and feel refreshed. If I hit like an hour on it though, I wake up and be like, where the hell am I?
Too much, yeah. I can't do the power nap thing. I've seen my dad do it successfully for many, many years, but I did not inherit that genetic trait of.
So your dad is Rip Van Winkle?
Yep. He does this. He can fall asleep anywhere. It's amazing. it's a good skill to have, I think, by choice. Anyway. But I can't do the like 30-minute power nap. I tend to like, I'll just be too groggy. It doesn't sync up with whatever sleep phases I have going on.
See, oftentimes, and especially when it's not a time that my body is used to sleeping, it will take me a half hour to get to sleep, which then defeats the purpose of the power nap.
Yeah, I'm eating up way too much time at that point because my brain is just like, no, you're not going to sleep right now.
Yeah. So some of my favorite naps have been on Sunday afternoon with golf on TV. usually like holding a baby, right? Like that sort of upright, sort of in and out sleep is pretty amazing.
As a non-parent, that baffles me because I feel like I'm very much the person that's on edge if I am in, if I'm the caretaker of a baby. So I can't imagine being like falling asleep, even though like I totally get why that's possible because it's like.
They're just giant heaters.
A calm entity. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But in my head, yeah. I am not the calm entity in that situation. I am the like, I have been entrusted with this ball of warmth. I can't fall asleep.
I've had two occasions in, oh, turtles.
At least they're not slow-moving boulders, but I guess they kind of are.
They are.
Literally what turtles are. I mean, by definition, that's what the word turtle means.
Turtle.
Slow really?
Boulder. Yes, absolutely.
Huh. Okay. That's our topic
for this week.
I've had occasion twice in the last couple weeks to take the seven-month-old on she needs a nap, but there's not really a good spot. So just carry my arms and like wander through like down a trail. And that is a very relaxing way to wander down a trail. Hiking, I guess, if you were really like being efficient about the way you move. But I was just wandering.
Meandering.
Yeah. Oh.
I love the sentence you said of some of my favorite naps, which I was just like, I like that topic. It's like, oh, favorite naps. It's like a
top
very...
Top
five favorite naps. We're just, I feel like there's so many sunbeams and like moments of remembrances of naps where I'm like, oh, that was a good nap.
Yeah. I might spend the afternoon thinking about some of my favorite naps.
Okay.
Just reminiscing on naps. That doesn't sound like a waste of time at all.
I really don't think it is.
That is not the topic for today.
That is not
favorite
the topic.
Favorite naps is not the topic.
The topic this week is aglet.
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 A-G-L-E-T. It's the end of a shoelace. Phineas and Ferb had an episode on that, so.
I was banking on you not having seen that.
Oh, well, come on. Gary definitely watches Phineas and Ferb.
I mean, of the kids' shows that my children have run across, when they're like, can we watch TV? I'm like, yeah, are you watching Phineas and Ferb? It's clever. I like it. I feel like it has the humor of like a Futurama or, The Simpsons. But without any questionable content, I'm a fan. It's wholesome and silly and sometimes really funny.
And you've clearly learned things from it. And now what? Now where do we go?
Next week's topic.
Next week's topic? No, like I'm that prepared. Come on.
So did you know of aglet because of Phineas and Ferb?
No.
Okay.
Although I discovered that episode due to my extensive research. Based on, but also, did you know that there's like decorative aglets for like military? They're called something.
You know, I think I did know that actually. And I think that
it's a lot more like braided rope, basically.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's, so like, was there a world of laced shoes prior to aglets? Like, were people just like, oh God, my lace is frayed again? And it's made with cotton, so I can't use it like a lighter to make it fuse together, so I'm just hosed, right? And then someone was like, wait, I have an idea. Like
yes. Although I think that...
Jennifer Aglet, she was like, I've got you. Hold on. Check this out.
One moment, I've got a solution.
Yeah. I'm going to put some tape around the end of it.
And then everyone was like, wow, your shoelaces are so not frayed. Aglet. And that's how it stuck. The story of Jennifer Aglet.
The story of Jennifer. I don't know if there's... I didn't come across anybody who would be credited, but I wish I had.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a last name, actually. It sounds like...
Well, it's based off of the French word for needle. That I know.
Ah.
Well, so, and the holes that it would go through are called eyelets, aren't they?
I think so, yeah.
So you get the aglet and you put the aglet through the eyelet.
We're just going to be seamsters and seamstresses at the end of this.
Or as the French say, aglet.
I need to do some sewing. I have to sew some patches on the kids' Cub Scout uniforms.
Maybe that sounds like a fun project.
I just keep thinking, like, you know, some evening I'll do that instead of watch TV. But that evening hasn't happened yet. Maybe tonight.
Well, that's because I always think that's what I'm going to do, and then I realize it's a really poor decision for me to be doing anything with, like, needles and thread in dim lighting at night when...
Yeah, that's my excuse.
Yeah.
I'll take that. Thank you. I feel better now.
It just ends up being a poor decision because I end up dropping things where they shouldn't be dropped.
Yeah.
It's a bright day attack.
Maybe I'll do it tomorrow during the day.
But what, do they already have badges? Or are they like the troop number patches? And
yeah, the troop number. Yeah, that's the only one that I need to put on is a troop number. When we got the shirts, that came with like the, some other crap on it. I don't know. I should know what the other stuff is.
You really should.
It's not called the region, but, it's effectively the region, like this regional patch that your troop number goes underneath. So you can identify, like, if there were two troops, troop four or whatever, right? You would need to know.
You still have your alliance of, like, the overarching umbrella where you're like, we're still part of the same team, you and me.
Same. Yeah.
I was going to say province, and then you're not in a province.
No, and you wouldn't confuse, like, troop four with troop... Troop 4 in Northeast Florida with Troop 4, you know, Southeast Georgia.
That would be the last confusion you'd want on your hands.
Oh my gosh.
Two rival groups potentially getting along.
Yeah. Who do you think you are? Jeez.
Attending the same jamboree? Come on. Get out of here.
I think that there's a jamboree coming up in November. So... Probably. There's that.
Kind of, yeah. I was always so, like, jealous of all the jamborees my brother got to go to. I felt like the Girl Scout jamborees were less than thrilling when I was growing up. Things have changed, but.
I never did Scouts of any kind.
I didn't, I really opted out, I think, a little early on. But I think it all has to do with, like, your local group as well and how they wrangle things. And my local group was less than a good match for who I was at the time. I didn't enjoy the way I expressed myself.
I did intramural sports. I did sports of all kinds instead. As always.
All kinds?
Yeah, well, baseball and basketball. And I did flag football for a year.
Oh, flag football. I totally forgot about flag football. Wow.
Flag football is how I broke my arm. Oh. Not actually in a game, though. After practice, my very large African-American friend did a diving tackle.
After a game.
After practice. Oh. At the end of practice. I happened to be, like, holding the ball, I think, and just sort of staring off into nothing. And then I turn and look, and I see him literally flying through the air. And the next thing I know, my arm is broken.
You're like, and that's why it's flag football.
Yes.
And now I'm in a cast. Please.
Well, it was up here, so they couldn't put a cast. I had to just be in a sling and not move it.
Oh, that's...
I had this like sort of compound fracture thing where the bone went...
That's the pits.
Gross.
I have managed to hit the timer, even though you all knew what the topic was.
Yeah. Well, I didn't, but wow. Gary spoiled it for me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'll blame Phineas and Ferb, not you. That's fine.
Yeah. But you knew the song, which is also nice. Well, I'll try to find it.
I promised myself when we started the show that I would never sing on camera, but here we are.
A-G-L-E-T.
It's, I will say, like, you should probably watch that episode. Uh-huh. It's worth a view. It's endearing. I mean, you probably won't go, oh, I need to watch the rest of Phineas and Ferb, but that episode's pretty enjoyable.
I've watched a couple Phineas and Ferb. I didn't have too many objections to it.
I didn't have too. And that's a solid review from Chris, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, there are other things that possibly, I don't know. There's a lot of sort of, it's very much from a male point of view. And that comes out in a variety of different ways. But not anything like overt, just like it's obviously written by men. It's starring two male lead characters. All the female characters are basically background. And that's just, you know, how everything sort of rolls. And they're the most interesting and cool characters that everybody wants to be like. So it's just sort of celebrating that, which was the main critique that I had.
Mm-hmm. Is it on?
That's fair.
Is it on Nickelodeon? What channel?
Yeah, it's a Nick.
I think the counterpoint to that, though, is it is an advance in animated shows, and that it's like it's a mixed family, right?
Right. I mean, yep. No, there's definitely there's definitely good points to it. It deals with siblings who are not like blood related. That's the first time I've ever seen anything like that. So there's definitely good parts to it, but yeah.
I would also say that what's her name? I think you should give it another viewing.
In between midnight and six, yeah, pick up right, some more exactly. Kids programming.
We watched a friend of my son recommended an anime called Fairy Tale. So we watched that last night with the kids. And the essential, it's basically like a world of wizards and magic and stuff, and except it's anime. And so the setup is fairly mundane. And the main character is a girl who wants to join this guild. The guild is called Fairy Tale. It's where all the really cool wizards go. And the guild is called Fairy Tale, which is weird. But she's constantly like, basically her character is there to advance the male characters around her's plots in various ways. And there's lots and lots of fan service. Not like overt, like revealing necessarily, but like ridiculously disproportionate body parts, I should say. And yeah, just really like the female characters don't have any purpose other than to advance the males around them. And Aaron and I were having this conversation last night and just like, this is really like, why is this an okay thing? And like, the thing is like, there's whole other genres of anime that are basically written for and primarily about girls and women that never suffer from that problem. It's only the ones that are obviously directed toward boys and men that have all the really horrible body stuff. And like, so obviously it can be done, and you know you're watching one when you're watching one because it doesn't have that. Everything that is written for the male contingent is always doing that constantly. And it's really frustrating because it sort of ruins what could otherwise potentially be an okay thing to watch.
It's true. And the fact that you know it's possible
is really frustrating.
It's really frustrating, yeah. Especially once it's overtly noticeable. Because you're like, oh, look, the absence of this is a fabulous thing.
Yeah.
There's a show on Netflix called, is it Hilda? What was I watching? Might have to get back to you on this. I might be making up the name, Hilda. But I only watched the first episode or two, but it's an animated thing about this. I don't know. It's like a purple-haired heroine type who just like fights ogres, and I don't know. I'm into it so far. There's not in-depth plot points, but it's like the kind of like fluffy animation where I'm just like, I'm enjoying this. I don't know who the target audience is. I don't know if I am the target audience, but you popped up on my algorithm and Netflix, you know me.
We recently finished Disenchanted, which is Matt Groening's new
I just started that
series. Yeah. So, and that was really good. And now we're in, and like, we're thinking like, okay, so that has questionable like subject matter. But I still think it's better than the fan service, like to watch with our kids, even though like it's talking about sex and drinking and drugs and alcohol and like all sorts of other things. Like it still does it in a way that's fairly balanced. Which means that it's, and it still has a female protagonist that like kicks ass and like doesn't take shit and like, you know, speaks for herself and whatever, and is, you know, while being kind of a not great person, is still kind of a better role model than whatever the hell is going on over there.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, and like sometimes just having those multidimensional characters and having the discussion is just, it's easier than tackling like nonsense that of a character that's just propelling. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd rather just have discussions about the other subject matter than, I mean,
I really like Elfo.
Age depending. What do you really like?
Elfo
is one of the characters in Disenchanted. He's the elf.
It just cracks me up.
I mean, so basically it's this girl who's a princess and her two best friends are a demon named Lucy. And
I'm already into this show.
And an elf. And in this show, elves are like basically like Keebler elves, like little miniature green guys, and an elf named Elfo. And elves live in the like a magical candy land, and that's what they do all day is they make and eat candy. So like he comes from a whole world where like bad things don't exist, and then her other friend is Lucy. So it's literally like the devil and the angel. Yeah, it's the devil and the angel on the shoulder thing. But done in a really interesting way. And like Lucy's constantly trying to corrupt Elfo with a fair bit of success because Elfo doesn't even know anything. Like he doesn't even realize he's doing anything wrong. It's a really good, yeah. It's well done. And it's Matt Groening. So of course.
There's the good like storyline you can follow between episodes, but even like in and of their own episodes are fine as a single unit. So it's good.
It's only 10 episodes too, I believe. So we went through it pretty quick.
I'm sad to hear that.
Yeah.
I think I'm on like 6.
Yeah.
They're long though. I mean, they're like 40 minutes. They're not.
Yeah, no, they are.
They're not a 15 minute show.
Right. They're not your typical like cartoon and it's over. Yeah.
All good recommendations. I'm excited. Maybe I'll get work done today. Maybe I won't.
Well, I'm going to go think about naps for a bit.
Your favorite one.
I'm actually going to grab a nap on the dock when we finish this call.
Recreate your favorite nap.
Create a new one. Yeah, create some memories. That's what we do here. That's what we're all about.
Obviously, because Allison keeps finding people who have memories of our show.
Yeah, it's like it's like they're overhearing our coffee shop conversation and bringing it up to me later, and I didn't realize they were in the coffee shop, though.
You were there?
It's like, oh, you were sitting next to us the whole time?
I hope I didn't say anything embarrassing. Yeah. Hope I didn't talk about you.
Or when they bring up the topic and I already have forgotten what the topic was.
Which is probably the most likely, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, what's that? Is that a thing? A language, you say?
Esperanto.
What are you talking about?
Do you have big weekend plans?
What's a weekend?
No. Yeah.
I can.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz. We'll be right back.